GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to our All-Ireland Final Review podcast. Shane McGrath is with myself and Rory, who are two sad Cork individuals today. Rory, it's look, I think we've just been chatting off air there as well. I do think everybody agrees the better team won on the day, but what an All-Ireland final to savour. It was one for the ages, wasn't it?
Jackie, it was just, there was a magical, electric feeling from the time I got off the train in Connolly and the walk up and the team buses passing through and both sets of supporters mingling. It was just, I described it as like the fun All-Ireland, and it was incredible fun, an incredible colour, incredible drama, incredible finish. Not the finish I suppose you and I would have wanted, but all you can say really, Jackie, is hats off to Clare. Well done to Clare. Congratulations to them. Fully deserved. Amazing story. Some incredible performances all over their team. The leadership shown by the likes of Tony Kelly and John Conlon and Shane O'Donnell and Brian Lowen on the line. And even, I thought it was a lovely image as well to see Ger Lochnan on full-time whistle. Because I just have so much time and respect and love for the man. I just think he's he's a legend, a proper hurling legend, and just to see him and the joy that it brought him, you know, you can just wish them well. And I hope they milk it for all it's worth, because it was hard won, hard fought, hard earned, but fully deserved.
Yeah, it was, Shane, wasn't it? But it was hard earned is right, you know, like they're just watching all the bodies coming off the field. It was just enthralling. I'm wrecked after it. I'm sure you are too.
Yeah, I can't get over like how fit the lads are. Like, I mean, the level of fitness. I know for a fact, like, you know, the kind of S&C stuff the Clare lads would do. And it probably has come on. The only reason I know is because their S&C guy, Lucas, was our S&C guy as well. And even for me personally, like, he would have brought me to another level as regards how to do the gym, how to stretch properly, how to be strong enough to play inter-county hurling. And that's what it is about. Like, you're not trying to be strong enough to play are mobile enough to play rugby. Like, you want to be strong enough to play, and even the football lads as well, it's different. But so, but just that'll show you the level of, like, maybe not the hits that were going in, but the ground that had to be covered, the pace of the game that the lads had to cover the ground, like the amount of lads going down with cramp. And these lads are, you know, match fitness wise, you know, are some of the fittest athletes in this country. Like, you know what I mean? With the ground they cover and the pace of the game. The football lads are very, very fit, but, you know, there is more time for a reset, like in the football. There is more time for a downtime. You just don't get that second in the hurling. It's just so quick, so fast. So I just couldn't get over, like, watching the lads going down with cramp, you know, and just saying, Jesus Christ, how fast is it down there today? Like, you know, like, even been looking up to play in a few finals. Like, I remember 2014, and I thought, it can't get any faster than this, like, can it? Like, you know what I mean? As in, it was just bang, 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 score, score. There was only a handful of wides maybe between both teams. And then you go on, like, and you're watching what Limerick are doing, and you watch yesterday and you're going, it has got faster, like. I do you know what I mean? I just, that's the power of the lads. That's the precision of it. There is no room for error. Like, there's small things that got lost yesterday in the great scheme of, and I agree with you, Rory. Yesterday was a brilliant day. Like, I mean, I've been lucky, you know, to go up to Cork Park for the last maybe 6-7 years now doing the radio. Like, you know, has been brilliant. I've loved it. And I still get starstruck up there on Ireland final day to see the heads that are around, like, coming down. And, you know, my wife works with Brian Corcoran, and I got to meet him. I met him a few years ago at one of her staff nights. And I was starstruck, like, just talking to him, like, because he's a legend. And
a legend.
You know, even coming out of the lift, like, and walking out along on Jones Road, and Dermot Sullivan was there and Timmy McCarthy was there. And but that's just the day it is. Like, it is for me, and I said, like, it is Christmas for hurling people, and next Sunday will be Christmas for the football people and the camogie and the ladies football, it because of the characters it brings to it. Like, there was Premier League soccer players at that match yesterday. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it does. And Milan is always on it. Like, and you know, you do have to take it in for a second that I know you're disappointed, but like, hurling delivered yesterday on its greatest day, on its biggest occasion, that to see people who watched it on maybe the BBC who from the UK who don't see it, and just to say, oh my God, how, like, these lads are amateurs, you know, like, you know, some of them could be, now they won't be, you know, but some of them could be back to work tomorrow or Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's just
it. And with that in mind, right, when you're talking about what it has taken out of them, the one thing is, even on the full-time whistle, there was people already in a jocker at that stage. And then you're thinking, oh, I'm not extra time. I don't know. I mean, and this is not just saying as a person who Cork didn't win the All-Ireland. I actually still think a replay, nobody would have been cribbing to get another day out of it. Least of all the GAA for what the money it would have been worth. But I did just kind of think, given what we are asking of amateur players more and more, could you not just have had a replay for an All-Ireland final day?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, if you talk, obviously, it is what it is now, like, and we'll talk about Johnny Murphy maybe in a minute. I thought he did a good job overall, but obviously...
He did.
People are going to probably talk about the 5% of things that he got wrong rather than the 95% of things he got right. But, yeah, I would have been for a replay, Jackie. I would have been. Yeah, yeah. Considering what I just said, I cannot believe the pace of the game. And there is no room for error, like, as in, if you're mishitting it, so normally you want ball to hand, and you're like, your face guard is, the face guard is the kind of the target, really, roughly, you know what I mean? That kind of area, you want it up around here. But like, sometimes you're just zipping it, and it might drop, it might be going between the lad's knee and his boots. But like, it happened a few times yesterday, Patrick Collins zipped the ball out to Tim O'Mahony, and he just bang, kills it there, touch, hand pass off. And it's the wonder of those small things, how good their lads' touches were yesterday, that there was no room for error yesterday. And if there was an error, it was punished, and it was punished severely. Like, and I suppose that's just to get, what I'm trying to say is here, like, to get two teams to play on the biggest day with the biggest prize and to play that well, every one of them, you could not go down. I couldn't go down through either program and say someone didn't give it everything. Like, you know, they might have made a few errors. Like, you know, if you take maybe Ethan Toomey, for example, right? That, you know, he learned an awful lot yesterday, you know, as regards the amount of ball he got on, but maybe things he could have done differently with it. So that's a big learning for him. But I mean, to go down through everyone, to say that every single person who talked out yesterday played, bar the two sub-goalies, two declared lads, Rory Hayes and Paul Flanagan, and was it Connor Lehan. That just shows you know, the intensity of the game. And I'm agreement with you, Jackie. I thought when you go to full time, you see Conor Cleary's shoulders is gone. You see that Tony Kelly is really holding his leg, whether it was knee, whether it was cramp, whether he got a bang. I'm not sure what the extent of it was. To see that Shane O'Donnell was getting really tired. And I just thought, yeah, this Cork are going to kick on here now. You know, they really are. They're going to kick on. Dermot Ryan was going down with cramp. But look, I thought it was going to be Cork. You know, I said it all week. I even said it at full time. You know, even said it going into extra time. But like, what heart like was shown by everyone? But the heart and the grit that the Clare lads shown was unbelievable. And like, you could be talking about it forever, lads. But like, Shane O'Donnell didn't touch the ball until minute 16, 16 minute on All-Ireland final. And what he did after that was unbelievable. Like, I mean, the assist for the goal, 2 points from play, the way he brought in, but he starts moving, he starts creating space for Mark Rogers, he starts creating space for Aidan McCarthy, for Tony, because of the runs he's making, he's taking lads away, the amount of space, great to create for Dave Fitzgerald. You know, Shane O'Donnell, obviously Tony Kelly, like...
Greatest ever All-Ireland performance?
Greatest ever goal, goal I've seen in real life in an All-Ireland final, and, you know, I've been lucky to see a few, just because... I think we talk about the zone, right? And Jackie, you would have played, you know, you would have played a lot of sports yourself, Jackie. You know, you played basketball and everything. And Rory, you've seen a lot of sport. I'm not sure the level of hurling you played to. I'm sure it was...
a very, very bad level.
But I'd say, like, in every sport, people talk about being in the zone, right? And when you're in the zone, you're not thinking of anything. In every sport, read books, read everything. You just say in the zone. And you probably might want to get in the zone maybe 2-3 times in your career, I think, like on the big days. And you can't be thinking of anything. And what I'm trying to say is here, Tony Kelly could be thinking of nothing when David Fitzgerald gave him that ball yesterday, only just instinct. What'll I do? Oh, a little chance here. No, I'll take it on a bit of space. Still have it. What'll I do? I'll flick it over his head, touch, really, really short grip, bang. But he can't think of that. That just has to be instinct. And again, his point on the turn, on the spin.
Oh, unreal.
What a score.
But unreal. And the last thing to say about it, and we'll move on. The way he dispossessed, I'm not sure who was coming out.
It was Ethan Toomey, was it? Is that the one you're talking about?
Ethan comes up, he flicks it just a little bit high, and you're talking about this is the margin of error for lads getting punished when they made small, small mistakes at the highest level. Touches a bit high, Tony Kelly, flick away, ball is coming. Still has to jab lift the ball, facing away from the goals, but has to jab lift it over a Cork fella, get onto it, make his few yards, and still falling back, has the wherewithal to put it over the bar. That was probably one of the greatest points I've ever seen to go with his goal. But even the other point he got up by the sideline, I just think he was in that place yesterday. And I heard a great quote during the week. He said that, I think it was Tony Constantine said, he said, you're going out playing these matches or you're coming into the second half or extra time. He said, the quote was, you have 30 minutes now to sort it or the rest of your life to regret it. And I think Tony Kelly came out for extra time. No more so than his manager did now when he tore his hamstring in the 90s. And he just said, whatever is wrong with me here now today, I'm giving everything I have here now for the team. Very, very easily said, but to do it and the way he did it, the point he scored out by the Cusack stand by the sideline in extra time, it's just like all you can say is, oh my God, I'm so happy I got to see Tony Kelly give that performance. People are happy to get to see Messi. People are happy they got to see LeBron James. I'm so happy I got to see Tony Kelly give that performance in the flesh. Like, so.
I think as well, Rory, because there seemed to be this narrative, which I don't know where it came from, that in the big games, Tony Kelly hadn't performed, you know, on other occasions. But last night, when the chips were down and Clare needed somebody, he was unbelievable in every asset of his skill set, like everything that you ever thought somebody could potentially do. Shane is right. To get into the flow state on the biggest day must be the hardest thing to do. But he did it in every attribute he had, even when he was injured. It was phenomenal. To me now, it was one of the greatest All-Ireland performances I've ever seen.
Yeah. And that's the mark, is to do it on the biggest of days. I mean, the goal he got, it was almost... Remember the goal Maradona scored against England in 1986, where he slalomed his way through the English defence? Now, if you were critical, you're probably saying maybe you were Cork a little too honest at times in a defensive sense. But to try and dispossess him fairly or within the rules, I'm not so sure if that was going on down the other end, if there would have been. And look, that's the nature of it. These are really, really small little things that upon which a game can turn. He was just incredible. I think all over the field I felt Clare got their scores easier. I think they seemed to be able to keep the scoreboard ticking over. Because bear in mind, they had a terrible start again. I mean, Cork came absolutely flying out of the blocks. I don't know, was it 9 shots and 1-8 and like no wides? I remember the stat popping up on the big screen, and I turned around to the chap next to me and I said, look, we haven't actually put the ball wide yet. So it'll give you an indication of how well Cork were purring at that stage. But in fairness to them, once again, just like the time down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh where they went 7 points down, I don't know, was it 8 at one stage yesterday? They stuck in there, thought their half back line really got on top. John Conlon led, but like he would absolutely, I'm sure, have been in contention for man of the match. I don't know, was he, Jackie? And maybe he was. And look, obviously Tony was going to get it. I mean, Tony Kelly was like a superhero. But like, I'm sure Conlon was right in there as well, and for him to get the rewards. But look, I think this is a special All-Ireland for Clare. It rubber stamps the likes of Tony, Conlon, Davy Mack and Shane O'Donnell, a second All-Ireland. That's a great innings now. There's not too many Clare lads walking around with 2 All-Ireland medals. And then for their manager to go and do what, you know, the great Sherlock Nahan did as well. Listen, it'll be fantastic times in Ennis and all over Clare now for the next couple of weeks and months, and long may they enjoy it. To go back to an earlier question in relation to the notion of how fatigued the players on both sides were going into extra time. I think Don Logan, the panel on yesterday's TV show before extra time was played, just in case anybody was under any presumption that it was some sort of scoreboard analysis post-match. It was before extra time where there was a sense that this was wrong. And I think it was borne out. Now, look, this is the first time that we've had extra time in a drawn All-Ireland final since this new rule came in. And I think what we've learned yesterday is it's not right.
Yeah.
And I think that has to be the message. It isn't right. And I also think, to be fair, I think there's a player welfare issue. I mean, Shane mentioned there about the speed. And Shane, I wouldn't mind getting your thoughts on this in a second as well. Just the heat yesterday and in terms of your vision and the sweat coming down into your eyes and the amount of water that you're going to lose. And I mean, all of those are all player welfare issues. And I'm not entirely sure if it's safe to be forcing amateur players to go out and play 100 minutes of hurling in that type of heat. To see some lads on both sides kind of limping off, falling off the field. I mean, is that really what we want? I don't know. I think, in fairness to Johnny Murphy, I thought he'd have an excellent game, by the way. And I think there's a bit of cribbing, I suppose, from Cork supporters about some of the decisions he got maybe or didn't get or missed in extra time. But there again, fatigued. A good friend of mine in work, an English colleague of mine, Mark McKenna, you know him well, Jackie, he sent me a very interesting dissertation. FIFA are now looking at the mental and physical fatigue that referees suffer in extra time and how it impairs and affects their decision-making abilities, because they're only human as well. And they don't have a sub on or sub off. So what was very noticeable for me with Johnny yesterday was during the regular match time, Johnny was always about 5 yards away from the decision. His ability to stay up with the play was outstanding. I don't think he blew a whistle for a free for 7 or 8 minutes, but it was a clean contest and he let it flow. He was excellent. I thought he was really, really good. But it was very noticeable. Certainly when we got into the second half of extra time, he was that little bit further away, because I'd say he was absolutely bushed. He was bush tired. And what would he have run? Would he have run maybe 12, 15 kilometers?
Easy.
And then this game is running at 100 miles an hour and it's up and down and he's trying to see what's going on and everything else. I think there's a rethink required there, both particularly on All-Ireland final day. And I just think in terms of player welfare and referee welfare, I think that certainly needs to be looked at, but take nothing away from Clare. I think it was just, I mean, like, what a game as well, Jackie. I mean, obviously the team started level at halftime, level at full time, level at halftime and extra time, and one point after sharing 67 or 68 scores. One point the difference.
They were level 14 times. Like, it was
amazing,
crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Just on that Johnny Murphy decisions, Shane, right? I don't know how much longer the game is going to go on where we can't help the referees. And I know the argument is there where people say they're amateurs, you know, you can't be bringing in VAR and you don't want to be ruining it and making it like soccer. But I actually think, to take the pressure off those key decisions, why can we not just help them? Because I actually thought Johnny Murphy had an excellent game yesterday. I think it was one of the best refereeing All-Ireland performances we've seen in recent years. And I actually think, even if Cork people feel that some of those marginal calls didn't go their way, I think over the course of the game, everybody was still happy enough with his performance. But let's say take the 65 one, for instance, which they actually showed it on the big screen, which they don't often do in Croke Park. But you remember when they showed the replay of it, that you could hear the crowd booing.
Hernady ran over to him, Jackie,
and he was pointing.
And you could say, look.
But so he saw it and he knew. And he knew then, but it had already happened and the ball had gone out. So I'm just thinking, if everybody else in the stadium is seeing it and something like that could really help in those marginal decisions, why and when are we going to grasp the nettle and let referees be helped? Because I think it would only add to the spectacle of the game and not draw from it. I really do.
You're saying, Jackie, maybe that they have a screen option themselves that they can go to.
I know
for a fact that they're not allowed to make a call based on the big screen in Croke Park.
Exactly, because he saw it and he knew he couldn't. Yeah,
because I just know from my own experience, we asked the ref to look up there.
But from your Hawkeye one, yes.
And we were like, going, please.
Yeah.
But I think And I would have been harder on Johnny Murphy before now, personally, just with some of the decisions he would have made in matches down through the years. And I thought yesterday was a very, very big day for him, because realistically, right, the only way he was getting the All-Ireland final, obviously, if his own county aren't in it, and his own county have dominated. So this was his chance. And who knows? Limerick could be back in it again next year. High possibility that they will be if they, you know, everybody gets back on board. So this was his chance, like his chance to show everybody that I'm a very, very good referee. You know what I mean? And for me, he did that. And as I said, it's just unfortunate for him that, especially the Cork side of it, of the house, will look at the 5% maybe that he didn't get right, rather than the 95% he did very well. Like even the incident with Tony Kelly that time, with Tony Kelly and who was it? He kind of maybe just kind of, or kind of a flick out.
Maybe it was Ethan Toomey.
Was it Ethan Toomey again?
Yeah.
And you know, like the common sense thing, everybody watching.
Was it Jerm Ellerick maybe?
Was it maybe Jerm Ellerick? Yes, it
Jerm
was.
Jerm Ellerick, yeah.
And
sorry.
That, you know,
yeah.
And those things, like, it's just, it was a nothing thing, like. And everybody in the pub will be roaring, say, ah, come on, get up and all this and things like that. There's nothing wrong. But sometimes you just see a ref and they might see something or think they see something and they will act on instinct. But in fairness, they went over and just said, get up. And everybody was happy with it. I don't think even the Cork lads complained too much about it. You know, getting so many of the calls right. You know, the Clare lads would probably feel aggrieved maybe by a couple of yellow cards maybe lads got that. Maybe Adam Hogan got a yellow card that they were wondering what was that for really. And but I agree with you, lads. He just, the human nature of it is that he must have been tired. Like, he got a bang in the head as well. Like, you know what I mean? these are other things. Like, there was a bit of blood coming out. Like, is he going to get everything spot on there in extra time? He can't, like, he can't. He just physically cannot stay going to the pace that game is being played. And as I said, it has got quicker. Yesterday, it has got quicker because lads are so good and were so good yesterday. Their touch was so good. Their passing was so precise. It was rarely, rarely going out for a sideline. Do you know what I mean? It was in the zone. It was hitting the space. Lads were running out in it. So you have a referee. There's a diagonal ball coming. As a referee, right, you have to go the quickest route as the crow flies, as they say. So you have to get there to be able to make the decision. Okay, that's after happening. There's a bit of a ruck developing. You can't call a ruck from 30 yards away. You have to be nearly crouched down in there looking at that. All that takes energy. And you're thinking all the time. You're thinking all the time. You know yourselves, as in the media. I was wrecked just watching it, trying to do the bit for the radio yesterday, like, and trying to call the thing. So you're thinking all the time as a ref. What's happening now? Is there that going on out there? Who's in my ear? Something's going on here. The 65 thing, I think, I put that on his umpires. I think his umpires need to be getting that call right. Like I put that totally on them. Like we could see that where we were. They definitely should have been able to call that one. That's the first one. The incident with the people are saying about the black card potentially and maybe the potential penalty. Not for me. No, I think he got that one right. I know Cork people are going to, maybe so Cork people are going to feel aggrieved for it. I don't think it is. I think it's not, he's not really pulling him down. I think it's more of a...
But did he have, I don't think he had possession of the ball, Shane.
Yeah, the ball was there and he would have gone in more, you know, a trip, maybe accidental, but it wasn't a deliberate pull down, you know, etc. And then the last one. So what do you do about the last one? I mean, like say, Robbie O'Flynn, what a catch. Does he get fouled?
Unbelievable catch.
He does get fouled. Conor Lean pulls his jersey, but again... It's just, it's just.
Could the umpires see that?
Yeah, the umpires could have called that too. You know what I mean? I wonder, can the linesmen are down there as well? They're at that side of the field. So, what I agree with you, Jackie, maybe there should be that option. I think, you know what I mean? If they all kind of really, really work together and all are zoned in, like, you know, that you could still get a lot of these calls right maybe without that. That'd be my opinion on it. If the option was there to have it, you know. I don't know. I don't know what I'd be for it. Totally, you know. I'd be totally honest.
Yeah, and I understand that debate because, like, Rory, look, you've sat in numerous trucks across multiple sports. You know how easy access it is to go, right, we're going to show you this camera angle. Here you go. Pop it up on the big screen. We'll all have a look at it. It's very easy to do. I think from Shane's point of view, I understand there could be a reticence because there is an amateur game here. I just think because of the speed of the game and the way that the evolution is coming, I just can't see a way forward where we continue at this pace without giving somebody some support on it.
Yeah. And they are, like, you do have to remember the referees are amateur as well.
Exactly.
I mean, the study I quoted to you earlier, that's being done by the richest, most powerful sports body in the world, where everybody is professional. Professional referees, professional, everyone is professional. So I suppose to go down the road of using technology and to help them, I think I would personally, I would be in favor. I think there's always a way that you can amend it. I mean, the GAA have already embraced technology. Hawkeye's there. So it's not like you would.
They're not anti-technology.
Not anti-technology, and it's not like you would be creating some sort of precedent. The precedent is already there. I think you can always amend it to a certain way. Like there's a fourth official sat over watching the monitor anyway. Mm. So is it the potential whereby a major, major call that's resulting in a score or a major incident of discipline or indiscipline that gets picked up on a camera and it just goes into his ear and say, Johnny, incident there, number four, slight hit number 14, or that should have been, you know, and he gets an opportunity because he gets an opportunity to rectify it there and then instead of having all of this. I don't necessarily think you need to have the big rigmarole that the video assistant referee is in soccer, or the TMO where they're looking at endless replays and, well, can you scroll that back there? And yeah, the whole thing is stopped. I don't think you need that. I just think you need an extra pair of eyes who has access to TV, who tells him straight away, you missed this. This is the decision and this is what you need to do. And it's done in seconds. That's a potential solution if you did want to go down that road and you're effectively just increasing the responsibilities of the officials that are already in situ or yeah, widening out those responsibilities. I don't see that as a massive leap. I don't know. Would you see that as a huge change?
It's a huge change. I'd probably, you know, I suppose we're all entitled to our opinion and I wouldn't be for it now personally. I think that, okay, You got your two linesmen, you've got two umpires down at that side. So you could have had four extra sets of eyes down at that end of the field watching, you know, especially like a last second high ball in. You know something's going to happen. Like, you know, you know something's going to get pulled, someone's going to do something. So, you know, two umpires are clued in, your two linesmen are down there as well watching it, you know, and Johnny's down there as well himself. So you have five sets of eyes on the team there to try and make the call. And, you know, I think if you have that and all those people are entitled to call it back or they're entitled to be influential on the thing, I think that probably gets seen then or should get seen, the Conor Lean pulling the jersey on Robbie Flynn and they just say, look, he pulled the jersey there, it's going to be a free in. And the referee has to go in, like, you know, the referees do in lots of matches. They go what the linesman said, or maybe to a lesser degree, they're going what the umpire says. But sure, look, like it's a great debate. I really think it is. I think it's a very interesting one. And I think there's great points to be made for both sides of it, lads. And I understand where you're coming from with it. For me personally, I wouldn't be for it. But look, who knows? As you said, they have embraced technology and maybe this will be the next step for them because look, it's just gone so fast. Like I don't know, can it get faster? I didn't think it could 10 years ago. I just don't know.
Maybe it needs to slow down, Jim.
I don't know, I don't know. But you know what? Maybe we're starting to see, go back a small bit as regards, there's now three people playing in the full forward line for teams. And there's now people going route one again because they know he's actually really good at catching the ball. He's good at breaking the ball. Let's get the ball into him. And like all the things, I just have to say less quickly, I could not get over Daryl Owen going in fullback.
Unbelievable, like, wasn't he?
You're talking about things like when you're not in a camp or you're not in the group, you're talking about things. I was watching it going, like, Rory Hayes and Paul Flanagan here are on the bench. Surely these are the guys. But Daryl Owen must be doing something right in training. Or it must be doing something right internally to say, we're going to put you in fullback and we're going to be on Brian Hayes. And I just thought, this is going to be... just a no-brainer, like just got a lump ball top of him. And to be fair to Daryl Owen, I think he knew that every ball that came in, he was just batting it. He wasn't even thinking about catching it. And watch the ball to come in an extra time. And
but it worked.
It worked well. So there you go. There's another kind of, he mightn't get all the plaudits for it, but he came in and he did his job by. And you know, when you're related to the manager or things like that, or you're related to the principal or whatever, you often feel that you're maybe harder on your own. And I'm sure Brian Owen was like, you better do this, Dara, and you better do
it. Oh, well, he paid him back in spades. Let's finish off then on where this leaves them both sides. Because I think if you'd have told Shane O'Donnell, Rory, that he'd have to wait 11 years for another All-Ireland, he probably wouldn't have expected it. Because these Clare fellas, when they were only just coming into the panel at the time, you know, they must have thought these are going to be the glory years. I think they've seen 11 years later how hard it was to win another. The fact that they were speaking so freely last night about how much they love the group, Shane O'Donnell and John Conlon. I was really interested to hear both of them on the programme last night committing to staying for another year. Tony Kelly already talking about next year. In a way, you would have thought, oh, they'll get their All-Ireland and won't it be a lovely send-off for them? But actually, the way that they spoke last night was like, well, we're going back again. We're in this, you know, which was quite, maybe more than what I expected they would speak afterwards.
Yeah, I think, though, from their point of view, there is still one big itch to scratch. The Munster Championship. None of them have Munster medals. And, you know, Shane's won. Shane, how many did you win, Shane? Did you win 3 or 4?
Five.
Yeah, I know I missed one. Sorry. Huh? Missed one. Yeah. But, you know, I'd say you treasure and value every single one of them. Yeah. You know, and you know how hard they are to win. And it is still, I know they won the league this year as well, and they won the All-Ireland, and, you know, rightfully All-Ireland champions, and have been, I suppose, in the Limerick era, they have been consistently the second team, really. I know that this was the first time they made it all the way back to a final, but I think they kind of cemented that status now. And look, they'll go into next year's championship with a target on their back, but they'll have targets of them. They'll have targets themselves. And I think a big part of that, I think, is to scratch that Munster Championship itch. And I think if they all stay in situ, I mean, the age profile wouldn't be too dissimilar. They have one or two lads really at sort of the back end of their careers, no doubt. I mean, John Conlon, I think, is 35.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. I think other than John, and John, from what I can gather, is a fellow that keeps himself in incredible shape. I don't see any reason why they couldn't go and look to try and eke a little bit more success out of this particular team. I think they look like a very contented, very happy camp. They obviously love playing for Lohan because he is that inspirational figure, and he's such a iconic figure in Clare hurling. And I was encouraged as well to hear, as you mentioned, all of them say, look, they're all back in again, and all the chips are going to be thrown back in again for 2025. And, you know, who'd back against them going to achieve that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I think Limerick waiting in the long grass is probably just a big an obstacle as well for them, Shane. You know, when Rory was talking about scratching the itch, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking this team that's still something that they want to get over Limerick. They want to, they want to win another All-Ireland. But they, I guess for themselves, this team, they're not done. That's the sense that I got with them yesterday, that they're not done. This was just brilliant to get to the top of the mountain, but we're still coming.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, that feeling of success as well is, you know, it's just a goodwill feeling, and you're mad to come back and you're mad to taste it again as well. And the other side of that for me is that I think with the Limerick thing, I think if there was a few of them maybe thinking about stepping away, I think the alternative to that is I think the hurt is going to keep a lot of them. Mm. If there was one or two of them maybe thinking, this will do now, and this, like, you know, and I'm sure they were watching that. I'm sure Kilkenny were watching it yesterday going, could be us. We should be there. You know what I mean? They will have this feeling that they should be there and they could have been there. But I think the hurt will keep the Limerick lads. And I think Rory's right. I think that Munster medal is, they really do want it. And I know the All-Ireland is the ultimate, but, you know, the Munster medal and the Leinster medals, they're really, really nice things. And you do want to try and complete the pack if you can.
Complete the set,
so,
yeah.
As hurlers. So, I think the goodwill feeling will be there, and everyone was so happy and everything. I have a little fella here now. He's where the novelty summer holidays started to wear off, so he's bursted for ice cream here in the freezer. So he's starting to get into the hurling as well. So which is nice to see the other side. But look, I think the way they spoke last night, the Shane O'Donnell one is an interesting one for me, lads, in regards to John Conlon. I know John. I was down there for a year with Clanlara, lads. Great lads. John is a great fella, and you're right, Rory. He minds himself so well.
He does.
What he does off the field helps him to do what he's doing on the field as a 35-year-old. Because, lads, not too long ago, if you were 35 playing club hurling, you were considered an older player. Now, look what this guy is doing, as I said, in the inter-county level. So, John, his body will be fine if he allows in. David Mack as well, superbly fit guy. TK, you know, he'll be fine. The Shane O'Donnell one is the one for me, and it's not from a physical point of view or everything. I just think
he's a busy life.
Where he is in his personal, in his career, maybe, you know, I heard him talking before that the opportunities he's getting, he might not get them always. And while last night was brilliant, and he said he's going to stay, and maybe he will, I don't know. When you go on to Christmas and after Christmas, and you're there thinking, and maybe an opportunity comes up, because I suppose the line of work that Shane is in, maybe opportunities.
I tell you, if NASA were smart now, they'd say, we'll sponsor this fella now. We'll let him play a bit of hurling in the summer, and then we'll take him on our project. He's got it all. He's brilliant. And if he does want to go to space,
I'll tell you what, if Limerick or the other county boards were smart as well, they'd be ringing NASA to say, you got to get this guy to space as quickly as you can. You know, he's in his prime here. So
it'd be only Shane O'Donnell that would be puck and ball on the moon. That's the next the goal iconic. And the next target for Shane. I think,
the moon. And even if there was no one with him up there, Rory, he'd still get an assist.
Right, look, we'll finish off with a word on Cork, Rory, because no doubt about it, they will be licking their wounds. But I do think there is a sense. I thought Shane Dowling said something very interesting last night on the Sunday game. He was saying it's very dangerous to be constantly saying we're nearly there, because there is an element of, oh, they'll eventually win one. And there does seem to be that sense around this Cork team that if they didn't win yesterday, that they'll win one at some point over the next while. And I think there is a lot of talk about this team. It's just very hard to start from the bottom of the mountain again, knowing the work that it took to get them to an All-Ireland final. Encouraging to hear Pat talking yesterday, saying that, you know, we just go again, we regather and we go again. And you do get a sense that the momentum is there. It's just going to take a while for them to peel off the bandage on this one, I think.
It is. Plenty of time to do it, though, given the nature of our famous calendar. But the thing from... Look, I thought Cork were heroic yesterday. I thought, to a man, they were heroic. A couple of times could have... Obviously started the game really well, and... Like, if you think about it, in the 79th minute, Cork were 3 points down. 79th minute, like, the game was effectively over. They were 3 points down, and they still had a chance with the last puck of the game to get a draw. They could have lost by a lot more at different, you know, there has just been a reawakening. If you go back, I always was reminded of this morning, speaking to a very good friend of mine in Cork, like, you know, that the 04-05... Donal O'Grady, John Allen sides didn't necessarily enamour themselves to the Cork public in the way that the Cork public have taken to this team, because they started to change the way hurling was played. They were doing a lot of short passing, and obviously we've seen Limerick evolve and other teams evolve it. I think the difference between the teams back then and certainly what Pat Ryan has brought to this team is they're just unbelievably exciting to watch. Mm. They've gone back to a real old school type of Cork hurling, traditional, you know, letting the ball in long, getting it, you know, getting your forwards, runners. We didn't really get enough change, I suppose, yesterday from the forwards. I mean, the half forward line, Shane Barrett was taken off early enough. So was Declan Dalton. Alan Connolly didn't probably have his greatest day. Dara Fitzgibbon was kept quiet. Colin Malone, what a job he did, in fairness. And they did move Dara to centre forward, but maybe they should have, you know, hindsight's a great thing, possibly should have happened sooner, but look, these are all, it's all Monday morning quarterback stuff. But I think just talking to the lads this morning, they're all down in Cork, yeah, and lick their wounds, yes, but also a sense of, like, just so proud of the way the team carried themselves all through this year. On a couple of occasions could have been out of the championship, very lucky last year, in last year's championship, in lots of ways. And yes, there is a complacency space that you would be loath to fall into, to assume just because you're knocking on the door and you're getting close that it will automatically happen. Mayo, to their cost, found out that that is not the case. You've got to go and take it. You have to go after it and take it. I think a key factor for me yesterday was the amount of times, and I said it to the chap next to me, the two of us were watching, I said, there's another ruck. Watch now. A Clare guy comes out with the ball.
Yeah.
And that that insatiable desire and zeal and that was obviously there in, against Limerick just seemed to be lacking a small bit, or Clare just had that little bit more about them in those little moments to get the possessions and to, you know, keep that scoreboard ticking in the way that they did. And I suppose they're the little things again, 100 million little things that kind of add up. But I think the general sense is that the public are hugely proud of the way the team have performed yesterday and all through. And the key thing is that they stick together. I mean, yeah. I don't expect anybody to leave, including Patrick Corgan. And I know people will point to his age, but sure, what did he score yesterday again? 11 points?
12 points, yeah.
12 points. Like, so look, you just, and I think Patrick will hopefully, he's the only one really that you'd be kind of a little bit worried about. So, and then the flip side of it is, you probably do need to find one or two, another one or two. And there's, and we know, Jackie, there's one or two there. There yeah. is one or two there. There's a young lad who I would expect to be pulled in to the senior panel fairly soon, because one area that Cork still don't have solved is the ability to win ball in the half forward line outside of Shamey Harnedy. And I'd expect Hugh O'Connor, who's a footballer, but I think the hurlers have kind of planted their flag very much in his head by pulling him in for that Munster final against Tip. And I thought he was outstanding in the air that day in that Munster final. I'd expect to see him in next year's league, because he's well able in a physical sense. He'd be ready to go into senior hurling, I'd say. And there's not too many that you could say that about. Find one or two players, lick their wounds. But I think Cork will rise again.
Yeah, well, they have definitely been a story of this championship, but at the end of it all, it's Clare who are top of the pile. Lads, we'll leave it there, but thoroughly entertaining season. It has been absolutely dramatic, yeah, to say the least, but it has been brilliant. Shane, thanks so much for all your contributions right throughout the year. Go get yourself a rest and enjoy it. And we will see you very soon. And to everybody who listens, don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back later in the week with a look ahead to the football final. We'll talk to you then.